All right, we're going to jump into the Word. I'll try not to keep you too long. We had a bunch of other fun stuff to do today. You know, life is good, ministry is good. Ministry is much bigger than us, the Life Center. But ministry is global, and the body of Christ is global, and it's fun to be a partner with all the groups we partner with across the earth, and now a new partnering with the ladies, the Moms That Pray International. And that's just an awesome connection. And the world could use more prayer at every angle. I think we can all agree at that. The whole wide world could use more prayer. We're in week 3 of our freedom series. We're talking about freedom that God has intended for us. It's so big, like we can't cover it in a week. Like there's a lot of different aspects of freedom that God has called us to. Today we're going to talk about pass the test. Anybody like testing? No? Does anybody test their brakes before they get to a stop sign? Okay, nobody. Wow, one person. I'm scared now. I will look for you at intersections. There are lots of tests in our lives that God puts in front of us that we have to test or pass the test to get to the next level of what he has in store for us in life and ministry. And there are some tests I had to pass to get a driver's license, a guide license, a pastor's license. Go down your list. What have you had to take tests for to get approved to go to the next level? What classes? Spiritually speaking, same way. Jesus in Luke chapter 4. We're going to start there because Jesus is just a really awesome Lord and Savior. And I think he's a really good example. If we want to model our life after anyone, we should start with Jesus. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus speaking here, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus is just starting in his ministry at this point. He's 30 years old, roughly. He has just returned to Galilee after his experience in the wilderness, after his baptism. And he has just returned to Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue and grabs the scroll of prophet Isaiah and reads this prophecy that was about him from about 700 years prior. And he's now fulfilling the prophecy that was given for him to fulfill. But in order to get to this point, the start of his ministry, Jesus has lived 30 years of life, has just been baptized. The Holy Spirit has come upon him and taken him into the desert for 40 days of testing or temptation. Anybody want to take that ride? 40 days of fasting in the wilderness and testing. So we're going to back up just a little bit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 3. Jesus had just left his baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I never picked up on the piece where he was tempted for 40 days before. Now, you know how things you read a bunch of times, and I always saw the three temptations that the devil came at him with at the end of the 40 days. But this says, verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Over and over and over. The test kept coming. And maybe they were new tests. I don't believe it was the same test every day. Have you ever felt like the devil's just coming at you, test after test? Sometimes the people around you are getting on your last nerve. Just remember, it's just a test. So the devil at the end of 40 days is really tempting Jesus. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Jesus has a response from the Word of God for the devil's temptation. Do you have the Word of God hidden in your heart so it is your response when temptation comes against you? Jesus knew that he was much more than just a physical being. We are body, soul, and spirit. There are three parts of our person that we have to take care of. Food is not going to get it done on its own. Our spirit life is not going to get it done on its own. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions are not going to get it done on their own. We will be incomplete, but we have to feed and nurture and take care of every aspect of our life. Don't just feed your flesh. Feed your soul, feed your spirit. We have to take care of all of what God has given us to manage. Verses 5-7. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Do you know there's a prince of this world? His name is Satan. He has real power and authority, but not as much as Christ Jesus. Jesus tells us in his word, "I have overcome the world," meaning I have overcome Satan and his schemes and his devices. I've gone through his temptations. I have passed them all with flying colors. And you can too with Christ in you. He gives us, like, be aware, right? You need to know there's dangers. When I take guests into the mountains hunting, I let them know of the dangers. If we're in rattlesnake country, I let them know. If we're in, excuse me, poison ivy and blackberry and thorn country, I let them know. If we're in steep, jagged, fall to your death cliff country, I let them know. Jesus lets us know there is an enemy. He's come against you. Be aware. But know that I have overcome the world, and you can too, with me in you. God is so good. He sets us up for success time and time again. Verse 8, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Anything that we exalt above God or give first place in our lives over God is an idol, and we're worshiping it over our Creator. It could be money, could be time, could be family, could be fear, could be pride, could be rebellion, could even be America. Follow Christ first in all that you do. There was this point in my life at one time God was speaking to me and I was asking, you know, it's a common for me to say, "God, search me. What's not right in me? In alignment with your word, in alignment with your will." And God said, "Well, you're putting your wife above me." My wife was my current idol that I was exalting above where God should be. I had my wife in my God spot, and you can never get what God intends for you when you put the wrong thing in the God spot of your life. God's got to be first and foremost. And Jesus had God in the right spot in his life. So he was able to pass all of these tests. At that point in my life, I wasn't passing some tests. I was struggling, so I was searching. "God, what's up?" He's like, "Well, let me tell you. You're trying to get needs only I can fulfill from your spouse. And you can put whatever, you can put addiction in that spot. You can put whatever fear, jealousy, rage, whatever you want to put in that spot. But when you're trying to get your needs met from another source that isn't God, you're going to fall short every time. God's got to have first place in our priorities in our lives. Verses 9-11. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Isn't that creative? The devil even uses scripture to try to manipulate the situation. He's so crafty, but he's so predictable. Jesus is like, wait a minute, that's like poaching a scripture. What about these other scriptures? And Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, Jesus answered, it is said, or some versions say, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Oof. We have to know the word, because the enemy will even try to manipulate scripture to help you flunk a test. God wants you to pass the test, so he gives us the entirety of his word to know and read and study. And verse 13 finishes up. When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Like, he wasn't done. He wasn't giving up. But he was looking for another opportunity to engage with Jesus. And I'm sure he had some along the way, but again in the garden before his crucifixion, Satan's probably saying, you don't have to do this. Don't save the world. Satan's always looking for an opportunity. We have to move forward with our eyes wide open. God, what do you have for me today? Verse 13 there says not to tempt, or verse 12, excuse me, don't put God to the test. But there are a couple of places that he asks us to put him to the test, or invites us to put him to the test. One of those is in Malachi 3:10, to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. He said, test me in your tithing and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more blessing than you can contain. The other spot it talks about this is Psalms 34, verse 8. He says, taste and see, or test and see that I am good. He invites us to test him in his goodness. Taste and see that I, the Lord your God, am good. He invites us to test his goodness. He invites us to test his promises with our finances. Those are a couple of places that you can test God. Tests tell us where we are. That's all tests do. Where am I at? What do I know? What do I need to know? How do I get there? I clearly know nothing about rocket science. I have not studied rocket science. My tests would be very poor. I'd probably get some of the math right, maybe some of the physics right. Like, I don't have a degree in that. Ask me about how to track down a mountain lion in the mountains of Idaho. I could tell you all, I could pass that test blindfolded. But tests just tell us where we are. They tell us what we know and what we need to know. And they also show us where we can grow. Tests reveal our strength areas and our growth areas. I'm passing 100%, I have strength here. I'm passing, okay, failing. 10%, I have a growth area. That's all tests do. We shouldn't be intimidated by them. We shouldn't be afraid of them. We should take them. And thank God he is so gracious. He lets us retake the test over and over and sometimes over and over and over. And 2 decades later, over and over. He is so patient and kind with us. I wish there was like a light that would go off, like the emergency broadcast system. Don't you love those when they come on? Warning, this is just a test of the system. Don't be alarmed. It's hard to not be alarmed when that noise goes off. I wish God would give us those in the moments of our life. Say, Arby, I know this looks scary. Don't freak out. It's just a test. I've given you the tools. I've equipped you. I've trained you. I've developed you to pass this test. I've given you the truth of my word. I've given you the guidance of my Holy Spirit to pass this test. Don't freak out. Wouldn't it be nice if he started like that? Instead of it's 2 a.m. and you wind up in the emergency room at the hospital and you don't know if your baby's gonna live or not. I mean, I would prefer God just gave us like the flashing sign, warning, just a test. You're gonna be okay. No, but we have to persevere through it. We have to grow in our character, in our integrity, in our perseverance and endurance as we endure the test, just as Jesus did. Before he could engage in his ministry or his call, he had to engage in the test and pass with flying colors. It is the same for you and I. Remember that failure is never final unless you quit trying again. Keep retaking the test. God, I need to pass this test. There are many tests in our lives. The biggest test we have is our testimony, right? The Word of God tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him, meaning the enemy or Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus, and the word of their testimony. We know that Jesus has done his work. He went to the cross. He shed his blood for us. The blood of the Lamb has been given. But the word of our testimony, that's our responsibility. That's what we have to share with those around us. I'm going to share part of my testimony today. Been arguing with God about it, not excited about it. But I believe there's freedom in releasing our testimony and coupling it with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So I release it upon that reflection of what it does for those who hear. But when I was a young boy, I was sexually molested. And immediately felt guilt, felt shame. Was told, don't say anything, we'll get in trouble. And for decades of my life, I carried that guilt. I carried that shame as if I had done something wrong. But one day, many years later, wish it was a lot sooner, and I hope that for some of you. When I asked God where he was in that moment, he was holding me in that moment. And the first test I had to pass was, God, why did you do this to me? The first test I had to pass was it God or was it not? Because God's in control of everything, right? No, not really. We live in a fallen world. We just talked about the prince of this world, Satan. We live in a fallen, broken world. Just because something bad happens to you does not mean God did it to you. So the first test I had to overcome was, did God do this to me? Is this the hand of God? Is this the test? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God is 100% against sin. Does not cause sin in our life. He does not put sin in our life. He does not make it happen to us. But just because it happens to us doesn't mean it has to happen through us. So what we do next is what really matters. Do we pick up from the sin that happened to us and begin living a life of sin, which I did for many years of my life? I tried to mask it with drugs. I tried to mask it with alcohol. Tried to mask it with rebellion. Tried to mask it with being the class clown. I wore many masks in my younger days. But it was all to suppress the memory of what had been done to me. To the point of I had completely forgot about it for decades of my life. It was a black spot in my memory. So I felt guilt, felt shame. I had a poor self-esteem, had negative self-talk. I was depressed, was diagnosed bipolar. I was suicidal. Those were my teenage years of living. Not fun teenage years. I was flunking my test over and over and over again. Why? Because I wouldn't talk to someone about what had happened to me so I could receive the freedom that Christ paid for in my life. So for decades, I felt that. I struggled with it. I would have anger. I would have fits of rage. I could manage the system, the symptoms most of the time, but never got back to the root. I felt unworthy. I felt unlovable. I could not even love myself. I was in this, I guess, prayer conference. We were doing a journey to the cross where you have the different prayer stations you go to and reflect on different things at different stations. And I came into this one room and you're supposed to look in the mirror and tell yourself you love you. And at that moment, I could not do that. I could not look myself in the eyes and say, Arby, I love you. I can do it today. But it was in that moment I sat with God and began to reflect, why is this? And he began to reveal to me, well, when you were a small boy, this happened to you. And then it was like the floodgates opened up. And it was like a whirlwind of emotions, and I was a wreck. You could ask my wife. She got to endure that. She passed the test. But then I had to deal with it. I had to process the pain of 30 years ago. I had to begin walking that out. And there's a process to the pain, and we're going to get to that in 2 weeks. So there's your hook for Pastor Dan's going to speak next week, share some of his testimony. And then the 4th of August, I'll be talking about how do we process our pain and going through a step-by-step process of how we do that. Because Christ came so you and I could have freedom in our souls, in our spirit, in our body. And unless we process the pain will have a voice. And if it's not healed pain, it's not a good voice. It leads us to more sin, leads us to idolatry, leads us to everything but God. But when we process it appropriately, give it to God fully. Now I can look at myself. I still have to look at these men in our community. They still live in our valley. But now I can look at them with the love of Jesus and know that there's hope for them and they need a Savior. Instead of we won't say it. I used to have other thoughts. We'll leave it there. God can heal us. He can restore us, but we have to pass the test. The second test we might face is, where do we go from here? Now that I have that information, what do I do with it? Where do I go from that point and begin the process of healing and restoration? Once I narrowed it down, I got back to the root of what I felt. And the core root or wound that I had was abandonment. I felt unprotected. I felt unsafe. I felt that I was all alone and nobody cared that this had happened to me. When the truth was, now we get back to the truth as part of our healing process, I had a family that loved me. I had pastors that loved me. I had friends that loved me. I had a church family that loved me. I was far from being alone, but because I never spoke it to anyone, I isolated myself in aloneness. God's plan is never to harm us. It's to heal us. Jesus came. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He had been anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. Some of you need to hear the good news. There is a God who loves you. He gave his life for you. He thinks you're worth dying for. And he paid the price for any wrong you would ever do and any wrong that ever happened to you. He paid it all. He was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. For 30 years of my life, I was an internal prisoner of something I didn't do but was done to me. Sin affects us no matter what. doesn't have to be us doing it, but it can be done to us or around us, and it has effects. The effects of this fallen world since Adam and Eve in the garden, sin has effect. Are we going to participate with the effect or be part of the solution? What we do with it is up to us. That's a test that each of us have to pass. Jesus came to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Lord, help us to see clearly. Recovery of sight, meaning bring you back to the original sight God had intended for you. Meaning my eyes restored to see me as who Christ made me to be, not who sin made me to be. Jesus came that we could recover that sight and get a clear picture of who God had made and called us to be. He came to set the oppressed free. Have you ever been oppressed? I don't like being oppressed. I'm kind of claustrophobic. Man, the weight of that on me was oppressive. The weight on my spirit, the weight on my soul, the weight on my body was oppressive and heavy. And boy, when I walked through the process of healing that pain, of healing that hurt, and gave it all to Jesus and experienced the freedom he had in store for me, oh, God is good. He's amazing. Thank God he's patient. 2 Peter, we're going to close with this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is slow in keeping his promise. Is not slow, excuse me. I missed a word there. Thank you. Thank you. I'm like, it wasn't sounding right to me, okay? Okay. Take two. New test. My reading proficiency is low. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But I had a lot of sin to repent of from point A to point B. But I did have to repent for not passing the tests that were set before me and going my own way and trying to mask and cover with other sinful natures in my life. Thank God he is slow. Or not slow. Thank God he takes his time. He is patient with us. I'm failing more tests, David. But thank God he takes his time and says, Arby, look, you can get this right. Take it again. Arby. And as I look back over my life, there were points of my life where I could see God was giving me an opportunity to make things right or to get health or healing internally, that I didn't take advantage of what he was offering me, and I flunked those tests. But thank God he is so patient with us. For him, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So for him, it just happened like a couple seconds ago. He's like, all right, you finally passed the test. Go Arby, here's another one. But God is always calling us higher into life in what he's called us to do. He's always given us opportunity. Will you upgrade in what God has for you? Will you step up and say, God, I want what you have for me. What test do I need to pass next? Because God gives us the truth of his word, the guidance of his Holy Spirit. He equips us to pass these tests. He doesn't just leave us out there and say, good luck. He equips us for it. But you and I have to engage, participate, and pass. Thank God for his goodness. So at the end of service, we're going to have the prayer team up here. If you need with you, come up front. If you're online and you would like to speak with one of the pastors, leave that in the comments. I would like to be contacted by one of the pastors. Of course, if it's of a sexual nature, ladies, find a lady to talk to. Guys, find a guy to talk to. Someone you can trust. Someone who has a confidence Don't just share this stuff with anyone. You want to go to somebody who is a confidence and will keep your story, and just take it to God. But if you're online today and this message has spoke to you in that regard, please leave a comment and say, I would like to speak to a pastor. Here's my info. Because Jesus came that we could receive healing. We don't have to walk with those burdens, those weights. We don't have to be under that oppression today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, we thank you for the truth that we can draw from within it, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you are still on the throne, that you are Lord over all. God, we thank you that we can call on you at any time from anywhere, God, day or night. And God, you are there. You are with us. And God, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives guidance and counsel, God, in these situations. God, help us to see the tools you've equipped us with to pass the test before us, God, that we would continue passing, God, qualifying ourselves for the ministry that you've called us to. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.